We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien. He is an attorney. He's an attorney, a lawyer, barrister extraordinaire, all those things. Now, breaking news this day. And I mean, at some point today, it could be done. Elon Musk has worn down the board of directors for Twitter. And well, first of all, what negotiation? They're supposedly negotiating. He gave them an amount that's well beyond what Twitter is valued at. So, and he said it's his best and final offer. So what's there really to talk about? Trying to keep spots on the board? I mean, why? What is the big, what would be the holdup on something like that?
I don't know. There's been nothing that's, of the multiple news outlets that are reporting that they're close to a deal. No one has said what the, you know, the final negotiation points are. I can't imagine that that board would stay in place because they don't like him.
No.
But they also know that they're going to get sued if they don't take the deal because it's a good deal for the shareholders, and the board exists, yeah, as fiduciary obligations and exists to benefit the share, well, to do what's best for the shareholders.
To me, the only thing that goes to negotiate is a golden parachute, a sweetheart deal, basically a bribe to give them the vote or to vote in his favor, because they're not going to really change the price of the share, I wouldn't think. But, well, we'll see how the whole thing plays out. And we'll also see if he knocks off Putin and the head of Iran and the Taliban and puts Donald Trump back. That will be one of the first things to keep an eye on, because I can't imagine he's going to keep Trump off of Twitter if he owns it.
I can't imagine he would either. And I think we're the biggest thing, though, about this, regardless of a particular personality getting, you know, being on or off Twitter, though, Bob, is the content regulation. I mean, what happened in the 2020 election with the Hunter Biden laptop story and the New York Post story being suppressed,
yes,
on Twitter, and having the New York Post being locked out of their Twitter account for it. There was no excuse for that, and it arguably swayed the election result.
Well, you know what, though? There's a select few people in there, and, well, maybe it's in the dozens or maybe even on the people who are actually saying, nope, we're not letting that through. These are the people who will be on the street and good.
Yep.
And hopefully they won't be able to find work because they're terrible.
Exactly.
I mean, these people are vile.
That's not free speech. That's not free speech.
So that's that'll be, and maybe they'll all wind up at Facebook and it'll get even tougher there. We'll see. Meantime, how about those Timberwolves? They're good, they're bad. They're good, they're bad. They're good, they're bad. They're bad, they're good. Anyway, when they have protesters show up, I think that A-Rod and the new his partner, or maybe Glenn Taylor himself, should be paying people to protest about the chickens.
Any of the games left in Memphis, they ought to pay for to send a couple protesters down there to run onto the court or super glue their hand or something, you know, just to keep this going, because they're 3-0 with, you know, when the chicken protesters show up. And, you know, the chicken protesters, so Glenn Taylor has a chicken farm in southern Minnesota. They had, you know, had a bird flu outbreak. They had to kill a bunch of chickens.
A bunch,
and the
millions,
animal rights people are and the animal rights activists aren't happy about it. So two women showed up at the games with shirts on that says Glenn Taylor roasts animals alive, and super glued their hands to the court. And now this last one actually leaped out from the seats right behind Glenn Taylor and his wife. And this great video of the security guard had his eyes trained on her the whole time, and took her down like Joey Browner would take down a running back in the 1980s.
He must have noticed something, because you're right, it was instant.
Yeah.
And he kept looking over to her, so she must have been nervous and getting ready to make her move. And she went plowing through Glenn Taylor's wife to get on the court, and then it didn't work out so well. But you know what's not? Yep. Is this going to work out well, or is this going to really hurt both DeSantis and the state of Florida? What DeSantis pushed and got through to take away Disney's basically their fiefdom, where they were their own community, and, you know, they were paying and charging taxes. I don't think that thing ever should have been put in place. It was put in place in the 50s, or it should have had a time stamp on it or an expiration date.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, cities do this with businesses, you know, tax increment financing and other deals to get a development built, but then it sunsets. And this thing, as I understand it, was put in place prior to the to the original park being constructed in the 60s, and it has lasted ever since. And essentially what it, and the part that I think I was most surprised about was some of the folks on the right that are upset about this, acting as if, oh, you know, he can't act as if we're better than this. It's like, first of all, it's corporate welfare. And second of all, I thought we were against autonomous zones that Antifa was setting up in Portland and all over the place. Well, this is essentially an autonomous zone set up by run by a corporation.
That's the great irony here, because liberals are up in arms about it. And so basically they are endorsing corporate welfare. So that's what the beauty of this thing is when you see it unfold. They just want to hurt DeSantis, and that's really what this is all about. And you're right, it never should have lasted this long. It never should have gotten to this point. And I don't know how past governors and legislatures in Florida ever let it continue like this. It's staggering that they actually had this in place for this long.
Now, I did note in the legislation, in the bill that was passed, Bob, that it doesn't go into effect until, I think, middle of next year. So
it could be rescinded.
If they want to come crawling back, hand, you know, on their knees and beg for forgiveness and promise not to do this again, then maybe they can get their old district back.
Well, I don't know that they should. That's the problem with it.
I don't think they should either. I think that, but you know, and some of the comments about, oh, it's going to cost the taxpayers, I doubt that it will. You know, they're going to be paying, I can't imagine what kind of property taxes Disney is going to have to pay on that much property.
Yes, and also what they're trying to do is put out there that there's debt that has to be paid and taxpayers will pay it. The state could waive the debt, which is likely to happen, so that it's not a burden on the people who live in those. It's affecting two counties. It really is a heck of a story. And I'm also, I don't know where you are, but there's a lot of people, I boycott Disney, and people boycott Netflix. If there's something good on those premium channels, I'm going to watch them. I don't really care. I don't feel like supporting them or, you know, supporting their beliefs.
Well, this Twitter example is a good way of looking at things. You don't boycott things. You just ask Elon Musk to buy it.
He can afford Disney.
I think he's got enough to, I think he could get Netflix and Disney as well. Why not?
Well, there's going to be pressure on him to buy everything up. Facebook will be next where people want him to buy Facebook. We'll see how that goes. Hey, I got to ask you something about, we're starting to see primaries are going to be cranking up. Something happened over the weekend, and I couldn't find my only source is on Twitter. What happened in Congressional District 1 where this Jennifer Carnahan is trying to get her husband's seat because he passed away?
Yeah,
but there was a big row.
If you recall from when we had Jeremy Munson on the show a few weeks ago, and he was explaining this weird timeline. Yeah, when you were explaining he's clearly the front runner. He ended up with 55% of the vote on the last ballot. I think they did like seven ballots. But it's that weird timeline where there's a primary, there's a special election, which happens in August for the late Congressman Hagedorn's seat for the balance of this term. And the primary for that special is on May 24th. Voting is going on now. This was the endorsement for the new Congressional District 1 endorsing for the general election that happens in November for the next two-year term, okay? So one could make the argument that if you got because the party opted not to hold an endorsing convention for the special election, so all the candidates go to the primary, right? So the idea was that there were a couple of candidates. There was one that a former state rep that's running, as well as the widow Hagedorn,
the widow
that were not going to get the endorsement and felt that they decided to team up and block an endorsement for the general election because of the ramifications that might have with Jeremy being able to say, well, I was endorsed for the general election and use that in the primary. And Carnahan still has some sycophants that are in party leadership in that district, and they tried to persuade the delegates into a no endorsement, and that's what happened. Now, I support Jeremy. I think he's the best candidate for the job. He's got some good endorsements behind him. If he prevails when he prevails on May 24th in the primary, The congressional district can reconvene a convention and endorse for the general. And I think it makes sense at that point, whoever wins the primary as the Republican, they should probably come back and endorse them for the general, because you're not going to have someone serve for 2 months and then somebody new. Yeah.
No, this needs to be done.
This was largely Carnahan shenanigans. And Brad Finstead, the former state rep, who also he was the second place guy. My understanding is his people got involved with it too, and decided to throw the convention to no endorsement.
Oh, great.
That's like the old line from Downton Abbey: give somebody a little bit of power and it goes to their head like strong drink. These party activists have too much power. I've been a big fan of doing away with this caucus and endorsement system and just going to primaries, and I think this is kind of evidence of why you do that.
That's a great point. All right, Jeff, thanks so much. Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone, take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back. We'll talk a little Twins.